In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen.
We are starting a new year tomorrow, inshallah. And the church taught us to look at the end of things to remind us of the end of our life. As you all know, that when we pray the Agbiya at night, the compliant prayer, the 12-hour prayer, we always pray the gospel from St. Luke about Simeon, the elder, who said, "Now let your servant depart in peace. Let me go back to be with you forever, because time has been too long for me to stay on earth." And that's how we consider even sleeping to be like the small death. And if you remember the very first day of Kiyak, that was December 10th, I talked to you about the series of discussion that we will have during the whole month of Kiyak about how to face your fear. And so far we talked about the fear of the future, fear of failure, fear of rejection, and today, accidentally, we are talking about the fear of death. How can you face your fear of death? It's amazing, when I started preparing for that subject, I heard about so many deaths that I'm sure you are familiar with, even during this 1 week, like President Gerald Ford, James Brown, the actor, Saddam Hussein, and so many, like earthquake and difficult stuff that was happening lately. And we try to stay away from the word death, and we as a believer should not. Sometimes I feel so bad when I hear Christians who are afraid to speak about death, and they even try to use different terminology, like somebody who passed away, he is no longer with us, and try to use different word that make you stay away from that specific word about death. But so amazing when you read the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 7, verse 2, where it says, "Better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting, for that is the end of all men, and the living will take it to heart." It's much better to go attend a funeral than attending a wedding. That's what he actually is saying. So you wonder, why is that? Isn't it something supposed to be scary and make us really tremble? What for? What's your objective in life to be here on earth? If you have no objective but to see God, you will never fear death. But if you have many other objectives to hold on to, cling on to life, that's where you'll be afraid. And you should be, because sooner or later you'll be meeting with God, and now we have to give an account about your life. And that's why in the book of Psalm chapter 104, David says, "You hide your face and they are troubled. You take away their breath and to dust you shall return." See, when God takes away our spirit, our breath, the human spirit, we die. So we go back to ashes. As he also said in the book of Genesis, when God spoke to Adam, he was telling him, "For dust you are, and to dust you shall return." So that's the reality. Our body will go down to earth, our spirit will go back up to God from where it came. And that's where we should always get ourselves ready in peace, in loving understanding of death, which I hope to share it with you today. And you really would be wondered when you read about different terminology the book used for death to give you that comforting feeling about death. For example, in the book of Genesis chapter 25, the Bible said when Abraham died that he was gathered to his people. And that's where it's supposed to be something good for us. How good is it? We will meet with everyone whom we loved before, and we'll go back again and share with and continue our life with. How can you live on earth if you lose someone whom you love, a husband or a wife or children or anyone else? You will be gathered to your people, the ones that you love most and the one that you miss and you wish to see forever. And the other terminology the Bible used, like rest, for example, when he told Moses, "Behold, you will rest with your father," in Deuteronomy chapter 31. Many other times he used a different terminology, like sleep, when he spoke about Lazarus, When he died, he said, no, he was asleep. So how come? So it is a way of resting, comfort, staying away from the trouble that you go through right here on earth. And even St. Paul, in the second epistle to Timothy, he said, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I'm getting ready to go. I should not stay any longer. I am living here as a stranger. So where is home? The true home, the real home, is with God. And I mentioned that before, I like this picture, and I have a copy of at home, and I'm sure you all have it, that shows somebody is hugging Jesus, and he says, home at last. We are a stranger in this world, and we look forward to be living with him forever. Saint Peter made it very nicely to describe how stranger we are. And he said that I live in a tent. This body where I live in, where the Spirit lives in, is a tent. He said in the second epistle Peter, chapter 1, he said, yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Our body is a tent. And when we get released from the body, when the right time that God selects for us, we will be no longer a stranger, because we will be going home. We will be going home. And that's the beauty when we speak about death. But many of us, sadly, as I mentioned, that we are human beings and we are weak, sometimes we fear death. So how can you face your fear of death? I'll mention quick 5 points here. Number one, you should know that death will come to you someday. It will come whether we like it or not. In the book of Hebrews chapter 9, St. Paul said, and as it is appointed for men to die once, you must die, but after this, the judgment. So we will die, and then we'll stand before the holy glory of God, before his throne, and we will give an account to our life. So we must get ready. So when we finish the day today, stand before God and look at what you did during the whole year. Ask yourself, how much did you really obey God? How did you fulfill his commandments? Did you do it his way, or did you do it your way? Did you check with your father of confession, or did you not? Please ask yourself these questions. Do you read the Bible? Do you follow his commandments? If you don't, I was reading an interesting article about an undertaker, and he said that in all his letters, he used the sign at the end, and instead of saying sincerely yours, he said eventually yours, meaning eventually I will die. I'm an undertaker, I carry bodies every day. I know that one day I will go and meet with God. So, why do we die? Have you ever thought about that question? It sounds like strange to us, why should we die? It's very simple. The first time we hear about death, when Adam and Eve committed the sin of disobeying God's commandment. And from that moment on, God said that you shall surely die. If you eat from the fruit of this tree, you shall die. And death came to us. Why? Because that corrupt nature of man cannot inherit the incorrupt paradise. And that's why God wants to make sure that when you live forever, you want to live forever in holy nature. The old one should not stay and cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. Second part that you should keep in mind when you look at death, and so you can take that fear out of your mind, it may come sooner than you think. Don't think that you are having some energy and some health and you can speak and scream and yell and write and do whatever you can, that now you are in good shape and God will not take you at any time. Remember the story of the rich man who wanted to raise up all his treasures and build bigger ones so he can fill it with more. The Lord, this story in the book of Luke chapter 12, God said to him, fool, first time you hear the word fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? You're building, you're worrying about your work and about your money, about your appearance, about your hair. Where will it go when the time comes? Where will it go? Will you take it with you? I mentioned that before, we as Egyptians, we are the first one who should stand very strongly and tell everybody, you will never take anything with you. How is that as Egyptians? Remember how many of the tombs we discovered, and all of them were filled with treasure, because the old Egyptians had in their mind, the soul will come back, and when that person rises again, he can find food and drink and jewelry and money. So they found it. How did we find it thousands of years later? It means they did not. No one comes back. No one takes any money back with him. No one takes his body as it is, or the treasure that he keep compiling or building up for no reason. It doesn't mean it will not work. Absolutely not. We will work because it is a trust God gave you. Somebody else cannot work, but you can, you should do it. But I will do it to the satisfaction and according to the commandment of God. I do it because I can glorify God in all what I do. If you do not glorify God in what you do and what you are and how you look and how you dress and what you eat and what you drink, you are far away from even knowing God. If you remember last Sunday or two Sundays ago, I was speaking about there's a big difference between knowing God and knowing about God. Knowing about God, you hear about Him, you hear so many of the sermons, and you read a lot maybe in the Gospel, but you don't have the relationship. You don't have the personal relationship. One proof is you are trying to interpret the Bible according to your understanding, your mind. You are not trying to listen to what the church says. Number three, death will take you to one of two locations. Absolutely, period. You have to know that. Heaven or hell. And sadly, nowadays, everybody tries to take the word hell away from our understanding. If anyone takes the word hell out of your mind, they are deceiving you. And if any priest even try to make it easy or simple, he is deceiving you. I tell you, in a speaker, it's recorded, you can take it anywhere you want to. Any priest or anyone who tells you there is no hell, he is deceiving you and he will take more than you. He will be punished much more than what you can ever imagine. Let me give you an example of how important it is for a priest to tell his children in the church that hell does exist and you must watch for it. Just making an example here. Suppose I'm driving by your house, 3 o'clock in the morning. 3 o'clock in the morning. And I see the fire like in the outside window. What should I do? Should I come and bang on your door, wake up, there's a fire? Or should I leave you and after some time, you lose your life? What should your good friend who is passing by your house sees a fire in your house at 3 o'clock in the morning? He will tell you, no, it's 3 o'clock in the morning, I will not wake you up, should not disturb you, or should I come and bang on your door, wake up to save your life? Which one is better? Of course, the answer is obvious that no matter what, Abuna must remind you to save your life. Your life is not like how many years that you spend here on earth. It is the eternity that you will be with God. And that's why if Abuna speaks from time to time about covering our head, about watching for our spiritual life, it doesn't mean he wants everybody to feel upset from the teaching of God, not his teaching. It is something that God told him to do. Where is that? In the book of Ezekiel chapter 3 and 33, two times, Ezekiel 3 and 33, he said, when I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, that same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Yet if you warn the wicked and he does not turn from his wickedness nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. Same is said for the righteous people. Same exact warning was said. If the righteous man and went away from his righteous way, and you did not warn him. So somebody will not think that we consider everybody here is a wicked, both wicked and righteous people. The point is, the priest must warn to the last minute of his life. Why would the priest, after we finish now before the prayer of reconciliation, that he washes his hand and shakes off the water? What does he say? I am innocent from the blood of anyone who comes forward unworthy. That's what Abuna says every time. Why? Because he taught, he mentioned, he did warn, he followed God's commandment. He does not warn because he wants to warn and scare everybody about hell and make you like tremble from this reality. No. One other example that you have to keep in mind, we know very much that the Lord Jesus is the most loving person who lived on earth in the flesh, right? Who is the most person, the person who talked most about hell? The Lord Jesus Christ. Just to give you a quick, short example, the story of Lazarus and the rich man. He spoke about that rich man who did not care about the suffering of Lazarus, the poor man, and he went to hell. And every time he says, stay away from me, O wicked ones, you go to the everlasting fire. All the time, for those who did not listen to him, to his commandments, to his disciples, his clergy, his priest, that they, God forbid, will go to hell. So even God himself kept teaching us. I hope you don't take it very tough what I'm saying today, but today is the last day of the year. You have to go back and try to remind yourself, what have I done through all the year and my life up to this moment? What happened if God said, it's your time now, the time is up, come here and give me an account of your life. Give me an account. Tell me, what have you done to glorify me in your life? Did you obey my commandments or did you not? The first point is that something that's supposed to help us to face the fear of death is death has been defeated by Christ through his death and his resurrection. For example, in the book of Hebrews in chapter 2, St. Paul said, inasmuch then as the children have partaken of the flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. If you keep yourself in fear of death, you make yourself a slave in bondage to the devil. Why? Because you have to understand that death is something different. It is a good starting life. Death is not the end. It is the beginning of a new life with God. No matter how long you live here, I will go with him. I am struggling here to get to know God. Then, when I go to heaven, I will be seeing him face to face and talking to him person to person. Here you did not see God. You hear about God. You try to know him through your relationship, but you did not physically see him as we see each other right now and as we talk to each other right now. Completely different. St. Paul in the second epistle of Corinthians chapter 5 said, we are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Meaning, if I die, it's much better for me where I will go and be with God. He also continues in the 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and says, but I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. We have hope. That's a big difference. They have no hope, that's why they fear death. We have hope, so we should not ever fear death. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. So death, meaning we will be with God. We will always be with Him, always. There's no moment in heaven that you will be by yourself and you don't have God with you. Never. That's His promise. When God promises, He delivers. He will do it. And in the book of John, chapter 11, He talks about the great hope beyond the grave when He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in Me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in Me shall never die. What do you mean, God? Is there a conflict here? Absolutely not. You die in the flesh. And as you know, the flesh will rise. That's why the last day is called the day of resurrection. What will resurrect? The flesh, the body that's still in the grave. The moment we die, our spirit goes up to paradise, inshallah. And God forbid, those who are wicked, their spirit will go to Hades, waiting places until the day of resurrection, the last day of judgment. The day of judgment, where all books will be open, and those who are in paradise will go to the kingdom of heaven, and those who are in Hades will go to hell. So we have that hope that we will be with Him. So we are not dead. We are like crossing a bridge. Death is the bridge that you go from this one life to the next. The fifth and the last point, death can be seen as better than life to those who put their faith in Christ. In Philippians chapter 1, St. Paul said, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose I cannot tell, for I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. I'm staying here to help, okay? But my desire is to be with God, because now for me to live the true life, to be with Christ, death for me is not a loss. Death for me is gain. I gain being with God. I was reading a story in a book of literature, and it's a very interesting story. It talks about two good Christian people who lived a very good Christian life, and they died. Then they came back to a friend. And when he saw him in the dream, he said, how is life in heaven? They told him, let us tell you two things, one good and one bad. He said, there's something bad in heaven? They said, yes. He said, what is it? He said, the good news, there is nothing ever like heaven. Nothing you can describe like heaven. So he said, if it is so good, why you say there's something bad? They said, the bad thing is, we learn so much to eat oat bran that make us live 10 years longer, and we lost being with God for about 10 years. So they wished to die like 10 years younger. So they were looking the time they lived on earth to be a loss. That's bad news. The good news was to be with God and enjoy the great heaven. And I leave you the last verse from Revelation chapter 21. If anyone at this time feel they have any sorrow or sickness or pain or poverty or any hatred or injustice or any problem that you can feel or prejudice, remember this verse in Revelation chapter 21, verse 4. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no pain, for the former things have passed away. That's heaven. That's what makes you never to worry about death and never to fear death. You will be with God, where He will wipe away every tear from your eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away, and glory be to God now forever. Amen.